Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
So a few quick facts about this church of Smyrna, which is located right there in the book of Revelation. It was a wealthy seaport town, had a lot of wealth. It was a community, probably we can compare it to something like, pick a wealthy city. Philadelphia, is that wealthy? I guess it's pretty wealthy. I want to show you exactly where it was located. You see Ephesus, which we looked at last week, and you see Smyrna just right above it, about 35 miles. So it's about the distance from Ephesus as we are from Wilkes-Barre. So church isn't that awfully far away, but it's pretty far away. And at that time, all Christians came together in one church. So each city, each town had its own church. And this particular church, very wealthy, probably had a lot of wealthy converts. Most of them were Jewish. How many people know Jewish people tend to have wealth? A little bit of it. Now, that's not an anti-Semitic statement. That's a positive thing. God has graced them in such a way where they are able to make money no matter where they go. And so this was very wealthy, and the blessing of their Judaism had something to do with that, perhaps. But it was also one of the most persecuted churches. And the reason they were persecuted, because, okay, if you're Jewish and you come to the Messiah, you claim Jesus as your Messiah, and the Jewish community doesn't claim Jesus as their Messiah, how do they look at you? As a cult? As being deceived? As it being misled? So if you were Jewish, you see Jesus as your Messiah, you come to Christ, and the entire Jewish community around you, what do you think they do? They turn on you. You're the bad guy. So let's just say this. Let's say you were a leather maker and you made leather. And this was your profession. You were Jewish and this is what you did, and maybe you were the best leather maker in town. Now you become a Christian and you're making leather. There's four other leather makers, they're all Jewish. Do you think they're going to boycott you? They are. And so this particular church almost had to go underground because they were being persecuted by the community in which they lived. This was the home of one of the greatest first century saints, Polycarp. Has anybody ever heard of Polycarp? Polycarp is perhaps the first second generational Christian we know about in the Bible. We have the apostles, right? We have the converts of the apostles. And now we're seeing their children begin to come into manifestation end of the first century, beginning of second. Polycarp was saved when he was just a little kid, probably went to Sunday school. Came to Christ when he was just a child. And now he's growing up and he becomes the bishop of Smyrna. Why is that important? Well, Polycarp has this amazing place in church history as a man who was completely and thoroughly godly, but was persecuted. But God protected him up until the time he was 86 years old. Now he's an old man living a godly life, and the people... He must have been so godly that even his enemies found no fault with him. But eventually, those people that hated him eventually put up some trump charges against him, had him arrested. His friends told him that he should run. He said, "Why would I run? Maybe God wants me to be martyred." But he eventually ran, went to a little house someplace on the outskirts of town where nobody knew it. And he gets a vision that it's God's will for him to be burnt at the stake. So he returns to his house. Sure enough, in a couple of days, the guards come, take him away, and they're going to burn him at the stake. And this is where we get one of the most famous quotes from anyone in the first, second century, Polycarp. He was given one last chance to recant his faith. They said, listen, recant that Jesus is the Messiah, recant that he is a king, recant his kingdom, and we will let you live. You can live out your life in peace and prosperity. We won't bother you ever again. All you got to do is say, Jesus, you're not my king. And so Polycarp says this, "I have served the Lord for 86 years and had received only good from him. How could I renounce the king?" Do you know what he's saying? That's why I wear my life is good shirt today. How many people can say God is good? How many people say, God has only given me good things? So Polycarp lives 86 years, and God is every day good, 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 good. And he goes, God is good every day. And now at 86, finally, life's not so good. Fire, stake. All you got to do is renounce this God who's been good to you for 86 years. And Polycarp says, are you kidding me? 86 years! Good, 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 good. And now you got a little fire going here for me? And you think I'm going to renounce my king for a little fire? How long is this fire going to burn? A couple minutes? He's like, no way. Let's go. How many people know this is not the fire to fear? What fire did Polycarp fear? The eternal fires. 5 minutes? No, I can handle 5 minutes. And there, as they put him on the stake, he just prayed and praised God. And it all went dark.
Yeah, you see the screen now.
Maybe that's what you're supposed to see. See, as I say, it's martyrdom. It all went dark. But guess what? The sun came right back out again. Polycarp. Second generation Christian. The bishop there at this church. But apparently what this tells me is this church was always under fire. It never lost the persecution. It is the only church that God says, besides from Philadelphia, which kind of gets a little rebuke, not much, but this is the only church God says, you guys are the best. I invited that butterfly to come. He's part of the illustrations. This church believed wholeheartedly that the words of Jesus, that I need to learn how to hate this life so that I can keep eternal life. They are the opposite of the church of Laodicea. This church at Smyrna is the opposite of the Laodicean church. And let's look at this. How many people think this is the ultimate Christianity right here? Can you even see what that is? That's a very rich guy getting on his Learjet. And by the way, we're going to start raising money for my Learjet next week. The Lord has... You're a small congregation, but I'm sure you can drag up $1 million for my Learjet. Some people have the wrong idea of what it means to be a Christian. So here's what it says. Revelation 2 and 8. To the angel. And by the way, we said this before. Every church has an angel. Everybody say hello to the angel of the Church of River Mountain. You hear that? He says, yeah, that sounds like about the kind of church I would have. Be a little more enthusiastic for the angel. No, I'm just kidding. Just relax. They're okay. Here's the word that came. The words of the first and the last who died and came to life. Finally, the person who is speaking to the angels is revealed. These are the words of the first and last, the one who died and came to life. Who is speaking to the church? Jesus. He is that first. He is that last. He is the one who came. As a matter of fact, everything we hear from the Holy Spirit, listen to me, everything you hear from the Holy Spirit comes from Jesus. That's what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit, when He comes, will lead us into truth, but will not speak of His own authority. What will He do? He will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit only tells us what Jesus wants us to know. How many people heard Jesus today? My goodness, you heard Jesus today. I said you heard Jesus today. Amen. Speaking to you. Jesus is constantly speaking to the church. Listen, here's what He says. I know your tribulations and your poverty, but you're rich. This is the opposite of Church of Laodicea. I see you have nothing. I see you're being persecuted. I see nobody likes you. I see all forces of hell have turned against you. And I know that you think that you're poor and you're just a little miserable thing. But I'm here to tell you, you're rich. How many people know God sees everything opposite? To the rich, to the powerful, He says you have nothing. To those who live in the small and the humble things, He says, you are rich. You have earthly poverty, but spiritually, you are rich. Remember the Laodicean church. They were the opposite. They said, we're rich, We have prosperity. We don't need anything. We are blessed beyond measure in the material things of life. And what does God say about them? You don't realize you're wretched. You're pitiful. You're poor. You're blessed. Let me just tell you. Do you guys know the difference between emotionalism and spirituality? I don't think you do. How many of you have ever been to a rock concert? Does that look emotional to you? Do those people look excited to you? Do you know a lot of churches run on the same fuel? I said, do you know a lot of churches run on the same fuel? If we make this look like a rock concert, maybe you'll get excited. If it sounds like a rock concert, maybe you'll get excited. If we have smoke and mirrors, maybe you'll get excited. Jesus wasn't in the earthquake, or he wasn't in the tornado. He's in the small, still voice. The Lord is always in the small things, not the big things. I know your tribulations and your poverty, but you're rich. When you think you're poor, you're actually wealthy. When you think everything is going wrong in heaven, everything is going right. Is that what Jesus said? Rejoice when you're being persecuted. Why? Because I'm just piling up treasures for you here. You're getting wealthier and wealthier. The more they speak against you, the more they slander you, the more they turn on you. You're getting wealthier and wealthier. Listen what he says. And this is the problem. This is what they were facing. The slanderers. Those who say they are Jews, but they're not. How many people know? A lot of people say a lot of stuff. I'm a Christian. You may not be. These people were saying we're Jews. No. How did you know? What was the earmark that they were not real Jews? Jesus says they're of the synagogue of Satan. Do you know what the word Satan means? The word, literal word Satan, you know what it is?
Adversary.
Adversary? Accuser. Accuser. You slander. Therefore, you're a Satan. I said, you're a slanderer. Therefore, you're of Satan. Be careful. Be careful. See, you can pick on me. I'm full of faults. But be careful. I can pick on you guys. You're full of faults. But I should be careful. Why? Because you've been called and anointed by God. And that's just not me. That's all of you. I got to be careful. Here's what it says of Satan. He is the accuser of the brethren. He will be cast down. Him who accuses. When we start accusing people, making accusations against people, slandering people, we better be careful because we are now entering the church of Satan. What does he do, the Bible says? Is he stands before the throne of God and he just goes, I accuse you of this, I accuse you of this, I accuse you, I accuse you, I accuse you. What is the opposite of accusing? Does anybody know?
Defending.
What?
Defending.
Defending, yes. How about this? Lifting up and blessing. Yeah, that's my brother Jay. He's not perfect, neither am I. That's my brother Rusty. He's not perfect, neither am I. But I'm going to defend them and protect them. Their sin, not their sin. But I'm going to protect them because they, like me, are just sinners saved by grace. And I recognize that I'm a sinner and I recognize they're a sinner, but I'm not going to slander them. Listen, here's what he goes on to say. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Now, can I ask you a question? Who's he talking to? One person? The whole church. Do you know some churches might be called to suffer, the whole church? Are you ready to suffer? Are you ready to suffer? Who is the one causing the suffering? Notice how it shifts gears. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you might be tested. I thought it was the Jews. I thought it was the Romans. No, they're just pawns. Who's behind all of this? Who's behind the accusations? Satan. Do you believe this? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual forces. And I've been in battles where I've been accused of stuff and I could tell it was a demonic thing. I could look at the person and say, why are you accusing me? But I tend to look past the person and I see the demon that is operating to control people. This is what this text is saying. Remember, Judas betrayed Jesus, but how did that happen? It said, then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot. Satan entered him, and then he went away and he conferred with the chief priest and the officers how he might betray him. When there's that accusation, those slanderous things, somebody has allowed Satan to enter them. It's a scary thing. But then he goes on to say, don't fear. Devil's going to put you in prison. Yeah, we get that. But then he says this. This is really amazing. He says, for 10 days, you will have tribulation. Why did he say that? Why did he say for 10 days? If you were this church, how would you feel about God saying, it's only going to last 10 days? And let's say you get thrown in prison, and you don't know how long you're going to be there, but you say, I wonder about that 10 days. I wonder if we're going to be here for 10 days. And sure enough, on the 10th day, the guard comes and says, you're released. What are you going to think? I said, what are you going to think? Are you going to think that God is sovereignly in control of this whole thing? That he has prepared you for this whole thing? He has not only prepared you, but he's also told you exactly what's going to happen. 10 days. See, the most comforting thing about Psalm 23, when it says this, even though I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because your rod and staff, they comfort me. Why does the rod and staff comfort? The rod and staff is an indication of God's leadership, his sovereignty. And come with me.
Where are we going?
I'm going to lead you through the valley of the shadow of death.
All right, let's go.
But listen, I'm the Lord. I have a rod and staff. Don't worry. Don't fear the evil over here. Don't fear the... You ready to walk?
Yeah.
We're walking through the valley. And guess what? It's not really death. It's only shadows.
Only shadows.
Only shadows. Let's go.
All right, let's go.
And we walk. And he knows there's this demon over here and this demon over here. But he's walking all the way through. And I'm going to walk with him. And now we're out. We're done. Woohoo! Ooh. Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Anybody take a picture of that? So that people are going to be, what's going on at River Mountain Church? What is that about?
Praise the Lord.
I'm comforted because God's walking through this valley of the shadow of death with me. And we get out the other side. So he says to this church, be faithful unto death. What does that mean? You all possibly could die. Are you ready to be faithful unto death? Why would you not be faithful unto death? What could possibly happen? You know what the Bible says will happen? That would cause you maybe not to be faithful? Jesus said some people are going to fall away when there's tribulations and persecutions and they come on account of the word, they will fall away. Do you believe our culture is going in an opposite direction of the church? Do you believe the word of God is saying this and the culture is saying this? What if our culture says, you got to agree with us, not the Bible? Do you think that's coming? Do you believe there's a temptation for some people to be reassimilated back into a godless culture? Yes. And so as we move forward as a church and persecution begins to arise. Does anybody know why we're not in Eagle Rock anymore? They tolerated us for just a few weeks and then they realized what kind of church we were and what kind of things we taught and preached. Do you really understand that? I want to tell you, church, be faithful to God no matter what, even if it means that they're going to kill you. Because why? Listen, to the one who conquers, he will not be hurt by the second death. What is the second death? See, Polycarp said, bunch of flames here? It's out by midnight. What? I burn here for 5 minutes? Polycarp says, I'm not going to burn for all eternity. 5 minutes. 86 good years, 5 minutes of burning, then I'm good. See, the thing you need to fear is not turning your back on the world. Turn your back on it. Turn your back on what it believes. What you need to fear is turning your back on Jesus and on His Word. That's what you need to fear. Anybody here have a dysfunctional family? Let me tell you how to be happy in a world that's gone crazy. Same way you're happy in your family if it's dysfunctional. I know my family has its issues. It's not the totally... But you know when I go there, you know where I set the bar? If they don't kill me or kill each other, I've had a good time. If I walk out of there and I'm not dead and they're not dead, we had a great time. Because it could have been worse. How many people know it's a dysfunctional world out there? Amen. And until they come for me to take me away, 86 years, 90 years, however many years the Lord gives me, it's all good. And when they come to get me, and they will come to get me eventually, I'm going to say, turn it up. Turn the hotter that fire gets, the sooner this is over. Amen. And the sooner I get to meet my Lord and Savior. Amen. But let me just say this to you, church. It's a cautionary tale. Let me say this to you. They're going the wrong way. Yes. They are going the wrong way. Yes. And they're going to kill someone. Planes, trains, automobiles. You're going the wrong way and you're going to kill someone. They're going to ultimately destroy themselves, and in the process they're ultimately going to try to destroy the church. But don't stop saying that to them. This is the all-star church. This is the church that got no rebuke. God says, you folks know how to suffer. You folks know how to be faithful unto death, and therefore, when you get there, I'm just going to put a crown on your head. I'm just going to put a crown on your head. Are you ready for a crown? Yeah. Let's pray. Are you ready to be faithful unto death? I could have got into some issues in which we're going to be facing, in which the world says, believe this, and the church says, no, we're going to believe the Bible. I don't know how many years before they say it's mandatory that you believe what we're saying. And if you believe the other, well, that's a criminal offense. I don't know how many years we have, 10, 5, 50. But at some point, they're going to say it's not sustainable. You and us on the same planet, it can't work. We're not going to put up with it anymore. And that's coming.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.